Welcome, I'm James Sturdivant. In this video, we're going to see how we can get started with Project Oxford. In the previous video, we got introduced to Project Oxford and how we might use it. In this one, we're actually going to dive into the code and see how we can get started using the sample project that I created. First thing we need to do is sign into Project Oxford and get an API key. This is Project Oxford's homepage. We click on sign in the top button, so you'll notice that I'm already logged in. If you click on your name and then my subscriptions, you'll see all the product keys that you've already requested. In your case, you may not have any. You can click on the button here to generate more product keys. So now that we've got our key, we can go on and get the application ready and then show how to actually make the call. So we'll head over on to my GitHub repository where you'll see the sample application. Now this sample application is ready to be deployed, but we're going to build it locally just to see how it works. If you scroll down to the README, you'll see instructions for setting up on Windows and Mac. They're fairly similar. There's just a couple different places where the code's actually stored. We're going to walk through the Windows. If you have any questions on the Mac setup, feel free to reach out to me. To get started, we'll click on the clone link. We'll copy it to our clipboard and go out to our projects folder. I happen to have a projects folder right on my C folder. Now, a cool trick to get a command prompt open is to hold down the shift key, right click, and select open command window here. So you'll see I'm right there. I'll type git clone and paste in the URL. Now, this will pull down the latest project. I can then cd into that folder and see all of the files that are in there. Now, we're going to use Python virtual environment to actually create a separate environment so we can keep our projects separate and not have any dependency issues when we're using Python. If you want to find out more information about it, you can head out to Python's virtual environment documentation. To create a virtual environment, we call Python and tell it to create one. Type Python. I have it stored on Python 3.5. This may not be the location that it was initially installed in. I did a custom install to make sure that it was on my C drive because I'm using it so often I don't want to have to memorize some crazy path. We'll call the Python executable and tell it to create an environment. We're telling it to create a virtual environment and to stick that in the env folder, short for environment. That takes a second to complete. It's essentially creating a new version of Python that's located directly inside the project, and that way you don't have any interference between any of the Python executables or projects that you might have installed. And so we're going to install all the requirements such as the Django and the Project Oxford wrapper for Python that we're going to be using. To do that, we'll go into the environment that we've just created and we'll find pip and tell it to install the requirements from the requirements.txt. Now that has a list of all the pip packages that we'll be using in this project. We'll take a look at it a little bit later. Here you'll see it actually go download to Django and any other packages that we have in that requirements text file. So this can actually take quite a bit of time depending on whether or not you have the projects already installed. In this case, they were actually cached for. And there we have it. We actually have our packages now installed. Next, we need to set up our environment. Since we've made a copy of an environment so that we can separate all our various environment variables and projects, we're actually going to go into the activation script and set up a particular environment variable for this project. It's pretty simple to do this. We can use our favorite editor to open up that file. In this case, I'm going to use code, and I'm going to open up the env scripts / activate file. Now we'll call this file in a little bit to actually activate the virtual environment that we created. And so here we're going to set that environment key. So when the environment is loaded, we have the correct API key. To set Oxford key and here we'll go out and grab the correct API key. Head over to your Project Oxford account. We're going to select our emotion API. There is a face API, and we want to make sure we actually grab the emotion API. So click on show and copy and paste that variable in here. Now, it's important to note that this environment scripts file doesn't actually get checked into your repository, and so you don't run into the problem where people are scanning for your keys. Save the file and close the project. And now we're ready to actually activate the that virtual environment that we just created. The way we do that is going into ENV and calling the activate script that we just set up. You'll notice on the left-hand side here that we're actually activated within the environment. And now if we run the server by calling Python, and now this is the Python that's in our virtual environment, pass it the manage key and run the server. It will actually start up a development server, get that URL, paste it into a new tab, and we'll see that it actually is up and running. We can use one of the sample images to test this out. Select the image and hit submit, and you'll see that this guy is indeed happy. We can also choose to do it again. Here, we'll check what she feels like. And here again, we see that she's actually sad or disgusted or something along those lines. It's a either or in this particular case, just to keep things simple. And we're going to open up the code for this whole project. One other note is that if we wanted to deactivate the current environment, we would type deactivate here and we'd get kicked out of the virtual environment that we created. To see the latest code, we type code and dot, and that's going to open up the current folder. Make code a full screen here so that everybody can see what we're up to. And the first thing we'll do is we'll take a quick look at the requirements text, just because that's what we used it earlier and we wanted to know what project files we have in here. So we're using Django, obviously, to do the web serving. Next up is Pillow. That's what we're going to use to actually draw on the image. And finally, Project Oxford is the Python package that we're using to make our calls to Project Oxford. And you'll see how simple that is. If we go into the app, we'll see that we have in our views file here a endpoint called upload. It's pretty simple. If the request is a post, then we expect the file to have actually been uploaded. We'll make sure that it's valid. We'll pull the file off and then handle the file upload. Next, we'll base in 64 encode it, and the reason we're doing that is because we don't want to store the file on disk, just because we don't want to have to worry about any privacy issues with storing the images. And so we encode it into base64 and then pass it off to the result. During the file upload, you'll see that the way that we're actually initiating the client is by creating a new client and calling the emotion section. We're passing the settings. This is where we're getting the setting out of the environment variable and creating a client. We then call client.recognize and pass the file. The recognize result is the JSON object that comes back. We're going to open the image that we have, and then we're going to start to draw on it according to the face rectangles that we have. So here we're going to loop through every single recognition result, and this will be every face that is recognized. We're going to pull out the X and Y coordinates and then build out the other part of the box that's going to be drawn onto the image. We'll draw it onto the image. We'll calculate the happiness and sadness score for that particular image. This is a pretty silly algorithm for calculating that, but it's trying to keep it very simple just to give you a sense of how to actually use the API key. Finally, we're going to create a temporary file in memory and then save that image that we just drew on onto it and return the modified image and the happy score. And we kind of already covered that. It's coming back out here, actually encoding the image into a base64 and handing it out to the result. In the results file, you'll see that what we do here is output the image. If we use data image PNG base64, that'll tell the browser to actually render the image based on a base64 string. And then we just have a little bit of code here that either selects whether or not it's happy or sad. So that's a quick rundown on the code and how to actually get it installed. In our next project, what we're going to do is actually learn how to deploy this now that we've got it locally.